Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
The one thing that you'll never be able to compete with some big companies, Fortune 100 companies, 50 companies, is budget, right? But the great thing about them is they always go wide and nobody can ever go as deep as you do. Nobody can ever go one level deeper with your customers like you can. And so I challenge everybody to understand that at the other side of everything you do is a human being. And if your mission every day isn't to be one step faster or one step better, but instead to go one step deeper with your customers, I can basically hedge my hat and say I can guarantee your success because there's no way to lose that game.
Welcome back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. Today is really special. It's episode 300. And before we get to my very special guest today making a return appearance, let me begin by sending a huge thank you from me and, of course, on behalf of all my listeners to all the amazing guests that we've had on previous InnovaBuzz podcast episodes. You all make this such an amazing show, and it's a very special privilege for me to be able to speak with you, learn from you, laugh from you sometimes, and then to share your insights and wisdom with all my listeners. And to you, my listener, if you haven't yet heard my recent conversations with copywriter Hayley Green and with Sam Keck of Common Folk Coffee, then do check them out after you've listened to today's episode, of course. George Bryant of GB Masterminds and the Lighthouse Marketing Method first appeared on the InnovaBuzz podcast in episode 226. To find out more about his backstory, listen to that podcast. Today, George honors me by sharing so much more about his expertise and marketing know-how in this milestone episode. We talk about really understanding each customer's own journey. We talk about the role of empathy in human-centered marketing. And we talk about working on yourself first. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive with this very special episode 300 and get the buzz from George Bryant. Hi, I'm your host Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited today because this is episode 300 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, and I wanted to celebrate with something special. And the something special I have today is a return visit from George Bryant, who's the Chief Heart Marketing Officer of George Bryant Masterminds. Welcome back to the InnovaBuzz podcast, George. I'm really honored that you're sharing this milestone with me.
I'm stoked to be here. Episode 300. That's a whole lot of podcasts, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Now, you were previously on episode 226 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, and you can find out more about George's background there and his philosophy of human-centered marketing. George is committed to help you ethically scale your business by showing you that relationships beat algorithms. And once you focus on transforming the customer, you will make more revenue than when you were just focusing on the transaction. So that's a big message that was coming through loud and clear in that episode. But since that episode, you've launched the Mind of George podcast, your own podcast, and a couple of online training courses, and you've built a large community of fans on Facebook. So I'm really interested to learn more about that, as being, of course, I know quite a bit about it, being part of that community. But what prompted that change?
Yeah, I love it. And great question. You know, a lot of the times, the last couple of years of my life, I've spent a lot of times behind the scenes, like really, you know, building some massive companies and using the skills and the tools that I've developed over the last, you know, 12 to 14 years of doing this. And honestly, actually everything I say is honest, so I'll just be really direct about it. It doesn't feel good to help people get bigger jets or give themselves bigger bonuses while not supporting the people that are doing the work. And so it's not very fulfilling for me to, you know, go into Fortune 50 or Fortune 100 companies and teach them all this stuff, so, you know, the board gets bigger bonuses. And so my passion is with entrepreneurs. My passion is with business owners, small business owners. And I consider that anyone up to 100 million. But really, I think every entrepreneur should have access to basic digital marketing skills or marketing skills, just like everybody should have access to basic water and healthcare. And I think that that should be a requirement. And so I looked at my wife, I looked at my team, and I said, are we going to do this? And they're like, well, if we do it, we're doing it all the way, because that's the only way that this works with you. And I said, yep, so we're going to do it. And so we decided to kind of pull the curtain back and make a commitment that we're going to support people any which way we can every day. We post free content every day, like actual, not like, oh, here's an idea. Like, no, here's a full concept. This is how you do it, why you should do it, where you should do it, why it works. And we really believe in the power of community and value. And the best way for me to do that is to be out there. And then, you know, we started on Facebook, went to a Facebook group, posted 2 free videos a day. And pretty quickly, I realized this had legs because people were screaming for the ability to succeed. And I don't think somebody should have to pay 10 grand to see if your idea works or to buy a product that might sell or might not sell. And so we started giving it all away for free. And then one thing led to another. And someone's like, we really need a podcast. Like, we need something to listen to every day. And I've been on over 1,000 of them. And I was like, I bet you we could figure this out. So we started, you know, doing the podcast and things like that. And really, I've spent a lot of time. I mean, I've helped probably close to 100,000 entrepreneurs in the last like 6 years with their businesses. And so I'm on phone calls a lot and asking questions where people need support. And I realized that now is a better time than ever, you know, going into 2020 and supporting people. And so we got on some calls, started asking questions, and basically said, we'll create whatever you need. And we have a lot of experience here between my team and I. And so we basically made that our mission. And we've been doing that ever since. And so it went from behind the scenes as Batman to you either have to be in the mastermind or hire me one-on-one to like, let's help and serve the world of entrepreneurship and really give people a chance to build or scale an ethical company that helps them achieve all of their goals and dreams. And that's kind of where it came from.
Mm, yeah, I love it. And I love the way you went about it. Like, I think there were 3 videos that I saw on and that, this was an email marketing course. You did sort of 3 videos in Facebook Live, and they're all, like you say, it was kind of pulling the curtain back, the total content. There was over an hour on each video really explaining the whole idea of how to do email marketing well. And of course, it was all around supporting your philosophy of human-focused marketing, not the transactional stuff. And I love, because we spoke last time about some of the things people do wrong in email marketing, like the cart abandonment, like you forgot to pay, or you forgot to put your credit card in, or when you buy, they give you an upsell straight away to highlight that you've actually only bought the minimum.
Yep.
So but I love the whole process you went through. So talk us through how that was structured.
Yeah, no, it's actually a really, really amazing case study, to be really honest. So I'm going to share everything to be really transparent about it. And so when I think about it, right, one of the things that I teach people is that people aren't paying for products, they're paying for access and accountability, right? And a product is a way in which somebody votes with their dollars or attention to then come into a journey, right? But somebody's commitment level, you know, when they read your headlines, your sales copy, your hooks, your products, isn't like, oh, I'm buying this because they convinced me. It's like, no, I really believe when I transact here, whether I give you my email or I follow you on social media or I give you my credit card, that you are going to genuinely help me achieve the desired outcome that you've promised me. And that's why people choose us. They choose the best relationship over the best product. And so when I was thinking about the Facebook group, one of the things that I always ask myself before I do anything is, what is in my industry, like whatever your business is, but in mine, like what in my industry are people not doing? And what is the opportunity? And then what are they doing that I don't agree with or that I think can be done better? So I basically do a SWOT analysis, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Because I also ask myself, like, what are they doing that I need to be aware of? Because it's better than what I'm doing and I need to make sure that I'm there. So when I looked at it, I was like, people are filling these Facebook groups and they're trying to get emails on the front, like with the three questions and then like gating entry in and all these different things. And I'm like, if you come into my group and all I have is this like streaming timeline of content, it's overwhelming and it does the exact opposite of what I want it to do, which is help you, because now you have to choose the path. You have to figure out which one. You're like, where do I start? It's overwhelming and it creates reactance, right? And I don't want that. I want you to be moving forward. And so I said, I'm going to control this journey. And I teach customer journey intentionally because I know that there's not one business that can't benefit from email marketing. Not one. And then I also know that in order to do email marketing effectively, you need to understand a few things. And so I was like, I'm going to make my Facebook group a what some people call a quote unquote funnel, except not. I'm actually going to add value, agnostic of credit card, and take people on a journey. So I said, what do I want to happen? Like, I'm going to go on podcasts. I'm going to create some content. I'm going to ask people to join my group. What is the end state is joining my group and coming in these trainings. And so I was like, what is the hook or the headline that I can support people with on social, teaching them content, and then their call to action is coming to the group. So I was teaching them publicly what the mistakes people made with email marketing was. And everyone's like, oh, I'm like, and now that you've understand that mistake, here's what I want you to do. And when you want to take it to the next level, come join my Facebook group. And then the second you get into my Facebook group, we welcome you with a welcome video. And I say, welcome to the group. This isn't a, you get to consume what you want or don't be here. Like, my job is to help you. And so if you're not ready to help yourself, leave the group. If you're ready to help yourself, I've put these three videos together for you that you have 30 days to go over. And so the videos were very intentionally done to give you everything you need to successfully scale your business with any aspect. And so video one was about commitment and understanding that your business only works if you do, but being intentional, methodical about what you do. And then I talked about how in the next video, we were going to help you be in the hearts, minds, and souls of your customers. And so then video two was understanding your lighthouse, like what your mission, your branding, and your messages to the world, and then understanding your avatar and all the different parts of your avatar, like their before state, their after state, the objections, and the ask, because that's where you inform your content. And then the third video is around customer journey and understanding what's happening for your customers while I have you in one, so that now foundationally, everybody in that, you know, 2 hours of content at whatever pace is directed has everything they need to succeed with their social media marketing, their email marketing, their ads, because we're empathized with the consumer. We know the benefits of our product. We know what journeys they need to be taken on, what objections come in. And so then I said, hey, now that you've done this, I put together a 5-hour video training for you and no strings attached. And it was a monster on everything with email. And so in order to get on that call, you just had to have done the work, because that work is what makes you successful. And so my thought process is, how can I eliminate failure? Like, how can I eliminate the ability for this not to work? I want 100% success rate with my name. And I want, when you see a piece of content and you trust me, that I've done everything in my power to set you up to win. And that's kind of how I looked at the group. And so the journey was consume content, then come into our group, come into the group. We're here to support you. Here's your video one. Here's your video two. Here's your video three. And we even asked people to do the work. And my team and I gave them feedback like, hey, tweak this, try this differently. And then led into, I said, this is everything you need. If you want more, we do have an email marketing course and it's the best of the best in the world. And that's kind of how we put it together, was based on everybody's feedback. But, you know, really the lesson is, like, when you think about customer journeys, our job isn't to know where our customers are today and tomorrow. It's to know where they are now and where we want them to be 12 months from now, 24 months from now, and 36 months from now. And that's a business, right? Like, a launch isn't a business. It's just a hobby and a liability, mm-hmm. in my opinion, right? And so knowing that, like, I'm like, okay, people are going to see my content. I need to have a home for them. I don't really feel like doing email marketing right now. And I don't want to be on Instagram and I don't want to be on TikTok. Where can I be? I'm like, I'll be in a Facebook group. And so when I send people there, I want to make sure that when you come in, you have everything you need to succeed, which is a clear path, which is what people are coming to our businesses for. They're coming for our leadership. They're coming for the accountability to achieve the goal that we promised them. And so my goal is to help everybody make digital marketing easy and business easy. Because when you understand the game, it is just that, it's a game, and you know what play and what levers to pull. And so that's kind of how we did the Facebook group. So we don't collect your email when you come into the group. We ask you three questions, just like everybody else. How'd you find us? Do you follow the rules? And then I do a welcome video personally for everybody once a week. I'm like, this is the group. These are the rules of the group. We'd love to have you. If you're ready to do the work, stay. If not, come back later and we'll still be here to support you. And then I send them directly to video one and they kind of start their journey. And it's no different than like a lead magnet, right? Like giving away a video course and then designing an email journey, or, you know, giving away an ebook and designing the email journey. I just chose to do it on Facebook as a medium instead of email, knowing that that's where a lot of my potential customers were. So that's kind of how that whole process came to be.
Yeah, I love the whole kind of story, because it, you know, you start with the end in mind, you look at the gap, what's the gap, what's the transformation I'm going to lead the customer on, you teach the customer journey, and you actually practice the customer journey in that little process. And then it's an ongoing journey there. I mean, for me, you know, we've got our transformational marketing map. And when I spoke to you first and learned all about the Lighthouse, which I want to talk about in a moment, yeah, the Lighthouse method, and then the various different customer journeys that there, I thought, oh, that just fills in the gaps here. You know, I sort of always wondered about, there's a few little bits of disconnect here that I was just never really able to put my finger on, and here all of a sudden, this just clicks now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Lighthouse method. Tell us a little bit about the Lighthouse method. How did that? Well, first of all, I'm curious, because I mean, I know about it, but I'm curious, how did you come up with the metaphor?
Yeah.
What prompted the metaphor?
Yeah, it's great. And you know, for everybody listening to this, when you come into my world, you're going to see a lot of lighthouses. And so here's exactly where the metaphor came from. So 2 years ago, I had, you know, culminated about, you know, 20 years of personal development work and healing. And I had some really tremendous breakthroughs. I basically, you know, cured my PTSD, my nightmares went away, all of these things. And I really started leaning into work on myself, like understanding stoicism and some Buddhism and, you know, philosophy, and like really creating a life that I love. And in that, I decided to write a personal mission statement for my life. And my personal mission statement was to, and still is, to stand with structure in the face of resistance to create possibility. And that's how I sum up who I want to be on this planet. And so we're sitting here designing our mastermind 2 years ago. And I'm like, what do I name it? My wife's like, stop overcomplicating this. Name it your name. Like, this is easy. It's yours. Like, it's you. It's you, too. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then we were coming up with like the tagline. And, you know, I say, I empower entrepreneurs to ethically scale. Another thing I used to say is, you know, finding your unapologetically authentic self. And so we came up with this mission statement, clearing the path to your unapologetically authentic self. And we were just sitting there. And like when those two were next to each other on a piece of paper, I think it was my brother. He looked me dead in the eye and he's like, oh, that's a lighthouse. You don't move and you shine light and it brings people on a path. And I was like, oh, that's genius. And so then we started utilizing a lighthouse. We put it in all of our branding. And then, you know, one of the things that I teach people is that content without structure is just noise, right? And I don't want to be creating noise in the world. I want to be creating progress and helping people move forward. And so, you know, in order to do that, you kind of have to have a method or a process or, you know, a guide or some level of a blueprint, or in my world, I call them waypoints for people to follow. And so I was like, wow, like I really, really think a lighthouse is the best business analogy in the world, because once you build it methodically, the foundation strong, it can withstand any storm, hurricanes, gale force winds, and the only job is to keep its light on. And I was like, but in order for that light to work, everything has to be in place, right? The foundation, the structure, the weatherproofing, the light keeper has to know the cadence, right? So then I started studying lighthouses and knowing that each one has its own unique light signature, and like, Every lighthouse, how bright it is, the color of it, the dots, like is it long, short, long, short, it's all has its unique light signature. I'm like, God, that's like business. Like you have to have a plan. And then as soon as you decide on that plan and you turn that light on, you can never turn it off. And that really is a good way to describe business. So I started using the analogy everywhere. And then I started looking at the last 3 to 4 years of consulting. And I mean, I've built $2 billion companies. I've taken over 300 companies in the 7, 8, 9, 10 figure range. And I started going back through every page of notes, and 20 pages of notes times 300. And we went through everything. We summarized it, ran them through word clouds, figured out exactly what I taught over and over and over again. And then I was like, how can I make this a process? And so I took Simon Bowen's genius model and I started plugging in, and it was born, and I call it the Lighthouse Method. And it's literally a 9-step process to make business or digital marketing easy. And I actually have a couple iterations of it, but basically the Lighthouse Method now uses all nautical terms or lighthouse terms to teach you how to be congruent in business, how to make digital marketing easy, understanding customer journeys, understanding offer structure, headlines, hooks, titles, social media dissemination, and dispels all the mistakes and the myths that people have out there about how to do business online or even offline using online capabilities. And so I started looking at, like, okay, when somebody comes into my world and I help them, you know, step by step by step, what's the path that I lay out? And very conveniently, it always ends up right around 9 steps. And it's a perfect kind of wheel. And so then we turned it into a lighthouse. And if you follow these 9 steps, and some of them, and most people have some of them already, but when you plug the holes and tighten the process, then the impending result is that you have foundationally built a lighthouse. You can turn the light on and basically control the destiny of your business. And so that's kind of where the whole thing came from and how I got to now what I call the Lighthouse Method or the Lighthouse Approach, depending on which world of mine you're in. They're both the same methodology. The Lighthouse Approach is for big, big, big companies, and the Lighthouse Method is for anywhere up to like 10 million, but same concept, same processes, you know, and applying it to people when they get there. And so that's literally how it all came to be.
Mm. Yeah, I love the story. Yeah. So it's just a moment of inspiration.
It's funny,
out of a lot of work. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, we teach is, I even did a podcast episode on this called Field of Dreams is Bullcrap. If you build it, they won't come. And, you know, one of the biggest mistakes that I see businesses make is they build it first, and they'll spend months building it, spending money, wasting time, money, or energy to then be there in crickets. And I teach people how to build it backwards, literally get, you know, test it, get feedback, get paid before they even start building it. So there's a need for it, the right languaging, you understand the messaging because you play it the right way. And so what I love about it is, like, my business is a shining example of that, because it just started with a Facebook group. And then the Facebook group led to, we want to learn email from you. And then I was like, oh, I'll make an email course. And I was like, what do I name it? So I asked them and they were like, okay. And then after that, they're like, God, we really want more time with you. And I was like, well, what should I do? And they're like, we'd love a mastermind. So then I write and make the mastermind. And then the mastermind is getting named and it turns into a lighthouse. And then the lighthouse, I'm coaching people through it, and they're like, hey, you realize that we follow these steps? And then I was like, oh, epiphany. I can put it into a lighthouse model, and then I have a new way of teaching it. And then I go promote that. And then, so it's very iterative, right? Like, and I think that's a good lesson in business and in marketing, right? Like, it changes every single day. The foundation never changes, but the wrapping paper changes, right? And so underneath it, at the core, I've been always teaching the same thing: relationships, feed algorithms. This is how to do social media correctly, email correctly, paid media, customer journey, psychology, NLP, all of it. But then given the context of, like, where I am in my life and the state of the world, the wrapping paper has to change. And in the beginning, it was easy to just, like, oh, here's an idea, here's an idea, here's an idea. But then, you know, as I grew and I learned, people, like, hey, they gave me feedback, like, hey, this was great, but if you had this checklist, or if you had this structure, if you said it this way, then I take all the feedback, we make adjustments, and then it ends up in this perfect model, and we just continue to iterate and build on it as we go. And it's a really, really good lesson with, you know, business, right? Done is better than perfect, but there is no perfect product. There is no perfect offer. There is the offer. And then having a healthy relationship and understanding that business in its existence is uncertain. And that's why we love it. That's why we're entrepreneurs. We chase uncertainty. We create roads that haven't been paved before, create products that have never existed before, create content that nobody's ever done before. And so when you have that solid foundation, you can change that wrapping paper quite often and pivot fast and be where the market is. And then you just reinforce what you've done or change the name of it. And you're kind of like a chameleon in business. And then you're bringing people back to the same place. Like, the way that we do marketing now is no different than we did marketing 100 years ago, except the mediums have changed, right? We're not using newspapers and so much word of mouth. We're using social media and digital marketing as faster touch points in the same type of journey, except we're just using a different delivery method, right? And so that's really, really the lesson in all of it is that you have to fall in love with the process, right? And the process is that your customers change, your business changes, your employees change, the world changes. But if you foundationally build a lighthouse, then all you have to do is change the color of the light or how far it shines out, and you don't have to change the rest of the business, which is why I teach it in a lighthouse method, right? And that's kind of like how it all sums up together.
Yeah. And one of the things, I mean, as we're recording this, we're right in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis. We're all in lockdown, and of course, a lot of physical businesses have had to shut their doors for now and have had to find novel ways to try to keep some sort of business and cash flow going. And what I really like about the lighthouse, and you talked about the wrapping paper, changing the wrapping paper. I mean, if you have that solid foundation in your business, it's going to be much easier to adapt to those situations and pivot your business. That's still going to be consistent with the core philosophy of your business, isn't it?
Yeah. And what I tell people is that, like, no matter what business you do, and the nautical themes are going to get a little punny on purpose, and there's a lot of them. But when I tell people, it's like, you think about it, like, no business is smooth. None. It's not like smooth sailing. It's not like flat oceans. You're going to hit storms, right? And either one of two things happen. You're prepared for it and you can navigate it because your boat's ready, or you spring a leak, but you are aware of the leak, know how to plug it, and then you're able to continue, or your boat can't maintain, you have to go back to dock. But then when you're at dock, you know exactly what to fix and fortify to go back out. So when something is lifted, you now have a launch platform to go back out and sail the seas. And that's why, you know, I create what I create. And what's so powerful is that, you know, most digital marketing that I watch, and the problem with most of it, with the exception of yours, and I love, you know, everything that you do, and I've told you this numerous times, is that, you know, strategies and tactics are not businesses, and neither are launches. Strategies and tactics will put you out of business, right? They're temporary, they chase, they're not permanent, and they're horrible. But when you have a solid foundation, strategies and tactics have a home, because you're using them to be in the current state. And if it doesn't work, well, your foundation is still strong. But if you don't have a strong foundation, you use them, you go out of business. And I watch people launch their way out of business, ad spend their way out of business, overmarket themselves out of business, because it's not built on a solid foundation. And it's really, really imperative that you understand, and like, to be very present to what's here. You know, I've watched one or two things happen, and I'm watching businesses thrive that you wouldn't think about it. Like, I have a couple local gym owners that I help. I have my chiropractor that I help, and he's literally falling in love with remote client work. My chiropractor, he's giving people modalities and teaching people on Zoom. And like, when he goes back into the office, if he wants to, he can triple his practice and see patients remotely. And then, you know, the gym was like, oh, we're going to go. I'm like, no, loan out the equipment to people at their house and then do workouts online and let them use the equipment. And they're like, oh my God. And they're getting new members signing up because people are looking for accountability and support. So they have a new member sign. I'm like, go drop a kettlebell and a barbell off at their house, and then they can join the workouts. And so, you know, when you're built on a solid foundation, you know your customer, you know the journey that you design, you can pivot really fast and meet them where they are. And in the world that we live in, you know, 2020 is going to be very differently than 2022. The beginning of 2020 is going to be very different than the end of 2020. And if you're trying to turn the Titanic every day in a 180, it's not possible. But if your foundation is strong and you understand the game, you can be pretty agile and meet your customers where they are and then take them on a journey. And that's what's really exposing itself right now is that I'm seeing. And just so everybody knows, like, to be really present, I also own some physical product companies. I have a supplement company and a diaper bag company and a protein bar company. And collectively between the three of them, we're losing about $60,000 a day right now. And I'm not immune to any of this. I'm not numb to any of it, but here's the beautiful part. The diaper bag company, I'm like, yeah, nobody has a need right now. Everybody's home. They're not traveling. And I said, but, you know, 8 months from now, we're going to sell a lot of diaper bags from quarantine time, because there's going to be a whole lot of more kids coming out. And then with the supplement company, everyone's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to lay off employees? I'm like, no, this is the long game. So we didn't lay off anybody. We told them we'd pay them. We cut the owner pay, but now we're giving out free supplements every day. And so we're doing the opposite. We're down almost 85%. And we're like, listen, we still want to support you. We understand. Here's an at-home workout program. If you opt in for it, we will give you a supplement of your choice to use for the next 30 days on us. And so, you know, we pivot fast because I know if they're at home right now and they start working out and we support them with a habit and then they take this product and they use it for 30 days, they're going to have a new normal and a new established norm and a relationship with the company that they're going to be a lifetime customer of ours, right? And so when you understand the game, you can pivot really, really fast. And it almost seems counterintuitive, but the results are mind-blowing. We're acquiring more customers than we ever have because everybody's telling their friends, hey, I'm doing this at-home workout. They're giving me this free supplement. Like, come join me, come join me, come join me, come join me. And we're able to do that because we're on a solid foundation. We know our customer journey. It's not predicated on being on Amazon or being on Shopify or running an ad. You know, it's predicated on people and us delivering them the vehicle or the vessel, as we call it, to get from their before state over that gap that you talked about to their after state. And we just changed what it looked like really quickly. Like, we pivoted in about 3 hours. You know, we went from doing multiple five figures, high five figures a day to four figures overnight. Like, what are we going to do? And we're like, let's give away supplements. And we're like, okay, let's do it. And so it's a really prevalent topic and it's something to be aware of. But yeah, I love that that kind of came up, but yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of philosophies there that I really like and admire. And the first one is, I mean, you're in it for the long game and you're doing some things strategically that support that relationship thing. And it is all about the relationship, but it's also about doing the right thing and by your customers and by your employees. So you know, a lot of companies I'm seeing in the current situation are kind of just bottom line focused. Okay, we're going to cut back. We're going to retrench employees to cut costs. And they don't really do much in terms of supporting the employees. Even if that is a difficult decision, they don't do a lot to support them. And then of course, later on down the track, those employees looking for a job, are they likely to come back to the same company? Not if they have a choice.
No. And, you know,
and the same is true of customers.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, you nailed it, Jürgen. You nailed it. It's the two things, the business side, the employee side. The best reference I can ever give you is a Simon Sinek book called The Infinite Game. And The Infinite Game, Simon Sinek talks about the company Victorinox. They make Swiss Army knives. And on September 10th of 2001, the Swiss Army knife accounted for 80%+ of their revenue. Then September 11th happened and you weren't allowed to fly with pocket knives or Swiss Army knives on airplanes anymore. In one day, their entire business was out the drain. And most people would be like, oh my God, we need to lay off people. Their CEO says, no, we don't measure in months or quarters. We measure in decades because that's what we're building. They gave their engineers a raise. They didn't furlough anybody. They built up enough cash reserves because they knew the game. They completely shifted. They basically 25x the company, and now Swiss Army Knives only account for like 11% of their revenue. They have watches, clothing, knives, boots, shoes. And it was because they knew what game they were playing. And The Infinite Game is an amazing read for any business owner, any entrepreneur, any marketer, because it really gets you kind of grounded on the game that we're playing and the choices that we make and the fallout of those choices. And then, you know, from the customer side of it, you absolutely nailed it. You know, right now, and this is in any time, like, people don't buy the best product, they buy the best relationship. And, you know, in times of crisis or times of uncertainty, most people's true colors come out. Company culture comes out, you know, internal culture comes out, company marketing comes out, their needs come out, right? And, you know, to be present to the times, it's really easy for me to tell the health of a company based on what's going on in the world. Because, you know, pretty quickly when all this hit the fan, the first week, I probably got more sales emails than I'd ever seen in my life. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, things are scary on the inside of that business, right? And then there's other businesses like, we're not going to sell you anything. We're here to support you. And I was like, oh, good culture, good company, good customer journey. They know their game. They know what they're doing. And the one analogy that I'll never forget is the analogy of like when you nail a nail, like when you hit a nail into a fence, you can pull the nail out, but the hole is still there. And that's how I think about congruency in my business and my company culture when my team and I are talking about how we support our customers or our students or my mastermind members, it's like, we have to be impeccable. Our job is to lead, and our job is to create a safe space for people to take their journey, whether that's their entrepreneurial journey, their personal journey, scale their business, build their business, whatever the case is. And but what you've nailed is that, you know, when you think about your own company, you know, culture has to be at the forefront of it. Relationships have to be at the forefront of it. The relationship with yourself, then with your team, then with your customers, because it has to be a unified message that goes out into the world, which also happens to be why I use a lighthouse as the analogy. And you do your why, your what, and your how to know what you're shining out. Because, you know, it may take 50 to 100 touch points to move a customer towards our business or towards our product. And it only takes one to push them out to sea and have them never come back. And that's the most important part to remember. You know, it can take years to build a relationship and takes one day to lose it. And when we think about this in everything we do in a marketing, whether it's retail marketing, in-person marketing, or any sort of business, is that really what we're doing is we're giving content or shining light out into the world so that people can establish a relationship with us. And we're doing it across the board. And the goal is to move them closer and closer and closer to our lighthouse. But the moment that you're incongruent, you don't know what you're saying, you react to the market, you don't lead people, you push those boats back out to sea and they never come back again. And that's not a good thing. It creates an anti-marketing machine for your business. It literally almost puts you out of business, right? 86% of marketing is word of mouth. People talk about bad experiences way more than they talk about good ones, right? And so all of this really, really, really matters. And so, yeah, no, I love it. And I really didn't realize the level of punniness in my brain when it comes to nautical themes and lighthouses until I started answering these questions. I've been doing a lot of nautical research in the last couple of years. So yeah, it's good.
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, with this current situation, I was fascinated. There were the two things I noticed. First of all, I started getting all these sales emails from people I hadn't heard from for ages and lists that I didn't even know that I was subscribed to trying to sell me something. And I thought, well, yeah, exactly what you say. You know, I don't even have a relationship and you don't even, and they're offering me stuff that, you know, there's no reason why I would want to buy it. So they haven't even taken the time to get to know what I really need or want. And the second one I saw, which I thought was fascinating, was, here's my advice to deal with the current situation. Here's how you're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that sort of style. And I thought to myself, well, I mean, I'm getting on in years and I've never experienced anything like this. And if I look at my knowledge of history, I don't think anybody that's alive has experienced anything like this. I mean, the Spanish flu way back in the early 1900s was probably the closest. And I'm not sure that there are many people alive that lived through that. So there's all these people giving advice how to get through this situation, but none of us have actually experienced it. So we're kind of making it up as we go. And very few people are actually talking about the fundamentals.
Yep.
Which is where, you know, coming back to the lighthouse method, I think that's a really good fundamental to keep in mind, and looking at customer relationships and how to take care of customers, how to take care of the people in your company, the employees and the providers to your company as well.
Yeah, I think one of the easiest things to remember as a reminder, and I say this often, like I think a lot of the times it's really easy in the game of business to forget that on the other side of everything we create is a human being, right? It's a mom, dad, a sister, a brother, our spouse, our family members, right? And it's like my first question to people, I'm like, would you be okay with your spouse or significant other going through your business? And they're like, no. I'm like, great. I'm not okay with it either, right? Like, I don't want mine going through it, right? And that's really what it is that really people have to remember that everything we do in our life is predicated on a relationship. Everything. What coffee shop we go to, who cuts our hair, what spouse we're in, what kind of car we drive, where we go to dinner. It's all predicated on a relationship with a server or a business owner or a car company or a person. Like, every single thing is predicated on a relationship, and it's the one thing that's always free. You don't have to pay to be in a relationship. You don't have to pay to deliver value. You don't have to pay to create a two-way relationship. It is the best and cheapest business foundational principle that will guarantee the success of your business when done with intention, just like you would do it with a family. And I do this every day. Like, I'm recording content right now, and I wrote an outline this morning, and I was like, okay, would I teach this to my son if I was teaching him how to do this from scratch? And I had to look at myself and say no. And I'm like, it's missing some things. And I'm like, great, if I wouldn't teach it to my son, why would I teach it to people who trust me? And so I went back and I spent another hour rewriting the outline before I wrote it. And I was like, could I teach this to my son and my daughter? And like, cause my daughter's 15 and she asked me about this stuff all the time. And I'm like, yeah. And I'd be okay if somebody else taught this to my daughter and I paid for it. And I'm like, great. Now I'll go record the content, right? Like being very intentional on what's done everywhere and meticulous, knowing that relationships are literally at the forefront, or let's use nautical terms, they're the undertow of everything that you do. Like every single thing you have is based on a relationship. It's the thing that keeps the keel in the water, keeps the boat on course, right? Like the relationship is everything. And so when we think about business and like the lighthouse, and the reason I use it so much is because, you know, it's not hard. It's the intentionality, right? Like what I found with business, and I'm massively successful when it comes to business and helping other people with business. What I find is that the hardest part is the foundation, right? Because you have to think through the future. You have to think through, where do I want to be in 10 years? Where do I want to be in 20 years? Like, there's no point in building a house that only lasts for 10 years, right? And in order to understand that, you have to understand like your goals and where you're going. And most of the mistakes I see businesses make are because, you know, they're thinking in weeks, months, and quarters, right? And I was like, you have to be careful of the bed that you're creating, because I don't know if you want to sleep in it. Because if you keep measuring everything in quarters, you're not going to have a business in 2 years. And it's very, very powerful to think about those things. Like one of the things I have my students do, and actually we did this in the Lighthouse Method course that we made, we have people do their 100-year vision. Like literally sit down and build a 100-year vision for your company. And then when you start to do that and understand that, it changes the game that you're playing. And then all of a sudden, the fact that one social media post today didn't get a lot of engagement isn't as upsetting to you, because you also understand that the point of social media isn't engagement. It's to serve as a touch point and a beacon of light. And whenever that person's ready, they'll turn toward shore. But they might need to see 50 of those before they leave a comment for their first time, right? And so it really starts to change the measuring stick to what really moves the needle. And really, it comes down to two things. Like for a business, it's impact and income. And without impact, you can't make income. And without income, you can't make impact. And those are the two things to focus on. And I find that when you really ground yourself in, okay, where do I want to be in 5 years or 10 years, right? And you work backwards from that, it changes your decision process. It changes your focus. It changes how you create company culture, how you do your marketing, how you do your branding, how you do your messaging. And it's not that you may have to be in business 10 years from now. You might want to sell in 3 years, but guess what? You'll get a 10 times higher multiple when you have a plan and you've been working towards that plan, versus like, oh, I just launched a product, or I drop shipped this thing, or no one even knows we exist as a human. Nobody knows who owns the company. It's faceless, right? Like people will always vote with their relationship. And quite frankly, I've been watching this trend for years. If people and businesses don't understand relationships by the end of this year, I don't think they're going to have a business in a couple years. You know, we've been training people to discern. We've been training people not to trust strategies and tactics. We've been training people for 15 years of digital marketing that I've studied to basically get to this point where the only thing that wins is being a decent human being and focusing on relationships. And there's just a matter of time before you can't run clickbaity ads and headlines, right? Like it's already hard enough. Like I watch people's ad accounts get shut down left and right because they don't have relationships. They're using tactics and they're using, you know, spammy things. And really it's the only path. And so, you know, my question for everybody is like, you know, what light do you want to shine? Like what impact do you want to leave? Like what stamp do you want to leave on the world? And is your business built on making money, or is it built on making customers achieve the goal, which gives you the ability to build the biggest company in the world, right? Like I always use Nike as an example because it's really, really fun. The lighthouse is really powerful when you think about congruency, and it's understanding that no matter where anybody in the world sees you, that you're always going to have this one message, right? This one thing you're known for. And you can tell me you sell 100 products, but if I fast forward 10 years and interview every customer and I say, what were they known for? It's going to fall into one of 10 buckets, right? And so like Nike's a perfect example. I'm like, can you imagine if today they're like, just do it, and tomorrow they're like, maybe I'll do it, and the next week they're like, you can't do it, right? Nike is a lighthouse. Apple is a lighthouse. Like some of the most successful brands in the world are lighthouses. Elon Musk is a lighthouse. You know And whatever word just popped in your mind to describe him is the same word that you've thought about him since day one. It's congruent. Mm-hmm. It's branded. You understand what's there. You have a relationship with it. And that's why it's so important to close the loop on what I opened a minute ago, where, you know, thinking about 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, the reason I think most businesses don't do it is they're taught in this belief that if you launch this product, you launch this funnel, you'll make money, and then you'll use that to fund, you know, what's next. But that sets a paradigm of like launch, rinse, repeat, and it's exhausting from day one, and it's short-sighted. It's very, very small. And if you take the time in the beginning, and I'm talking a day, maybe a day and a half, to like really ground yourself and be uncomfortable for a minute of like, where do I want to be in 10 years? Like, what does it actually look like? What do the customers look like? What do they feel? What results did they achieve? You only ever have to do it once, and then business gets easy because everything is built on a solid foundation and you know where you're going. Because every choice you make is either, oh yeah, this is aligned to that vision or it's not. It's aligned to that vision or it's not. It's helping us achieve that vision or it's not. It's getting them one step closer to us or it's not. But the mistake is that that work isn't done in the beginning. And without that foundation, without those principles of understanding what you stand for, what you mean, what you help customers achieve without products, there is no business to be had. And it's a dangerous game to set up from the beginning. And so, yeah, it's really, I'm loving the lighthouse.
Yeah, it's great. And that's a really powerful exercise to do. And it's quite challenging, actually. I mean, I find that quite challenging to sit back and do that. But I think, you know, the way you kind of guide the team through it is really valuable. And for me, the other big question, I think, is what business are you really in? And that comes back to my very first job when I came out of university was in the photographic industry. I worked for ACFA. And to me at the time, I thought, oh, this is a dream job because I'm a really keen hobby photographer. I have been since, well, I don't remember having not been a keen photographer. I mean, I've got a box camera here in my thing that was my first camera when I was about 5 years old. And so I've been taking photos ever since then. So this job was for me the dream job. But of course, within about 2 years, the first consumer digital camera came out, and I experienced firsthand how ACFA and, you know, I'm guessing that Kodak and Fuji, who were the other two big film manufacturers at the time, were reacting pretty well the same. The first reaction was, oh my God, this is a disaster. Our whole business is going to collapse. And what do we do? And so ACFA was frantically scrambling around. In fact, I was on the task force to get one of these cameras, put it through its paces, and we wrote a report that said, well, you know, it's not really much chop right now, but the concept has been proven, and it actually, if this could work, if this could produce quality photos, it would be a hell of a lot more convenient way for people to capture their memories, which is kind of what business the photography companies were actually in. But they thought they were in the business of providing film and paper to photographers. And we said at the time that it was probably 20 years until it kind of became mainstream. We were wrong. It was 10 years. And the company, our company, ACFA at the time, didn't read past the bit that said, it's not much chop right now, and made the decision, we'll just keep manufacturing better films and better papers. And of course, we know what happened to ACFA. We know what happened to Kodak. Fuji's kind of reinvented themselves, but they certainly were pretty close to going bankrupt as well.
Yeah, that story is in a book I read, and the Kodak story, like, is a shining example because they literally went from the king to out of business, basically.
Hmm.
It's mind blowing, but like, please, I just wanted to like to validate what you're saying, because like you like lived through it, and I was young.
That's
and
right,
I read about it, but it really, really what you nailed, and I want to drive what you just said home, is like, what business are you really in, and understanding that, right? Like, business, a product isn't a business. It's a it's a tool, right? It's a path. It's a bridge. But on the other side of that product is the after state that consumers are going after, right? Nobody buys a camera because they want to stare at the camera on their desk. I'm like, oh, I own a camera. No, they want to use the camera as a tool to create a memory or capture an image or something beautiful. And And Jürgen, you nailed it. It's so powerful. It's such a good question to ask. What business am I really in? So I just wanted to acknowledge you for that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you touched on the transformation there, and I think that kind of plays into that whole thing. So talk to us a little bit, because you use the word transformation. We use the word transformation in our marketing as well. And I think it comes back to that very question, isn't it? So talk to us a little bit about how you approach the transformation and the customer's before and after state.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And like, really, when I say, like, my job is for all entrepreneurs to understand that business is easy, is because really what it is, and you identified it right at the beginning of this, all of our customers, potential customers, are in their before state, right? We call this their starting location. And that's not where they want to go. Like, we're obsessed with the how-to culture. We look for tips and secrets and strategies and hacks and things like that, because we want to constantly improve ourselves. And so we understand the after state, but then we also understand that there's a whole subset of billions of people that haven't bridged that gap yet, and it's where we insert ourselves. And they have objections in there and things that come up, but really they haven't found the path or the vehicle. And that's where we come in and really, really create that. And, you know, when we think about this, business, especially marketing, is easy when you do the prep work. Like, when you're empathizing with your customer, like understanding their journey before they do, right? You'll hear them say things like, oh, it's like you're in my head. How did you know that? And it's like, well, I took 10 minutes to think about it before I posted it. And so just a little empathy goes a long way. And so, one of the things that I teach people, I'll just explain the foundation. So like in the Lighthouse Method course that we use, it's this 9-step process, but the base of it is the foundation. And the foundation doesn't start with building your lighthouse or mapping the plans. It starts with you as a person. What's your day look like? What's your perfect calendar look like? Where do you want to be spending your time? What's your queen bee role, right? And then it moves into the lighthouse. And parts of the lighthouse, and number one, is before you can even think about your customer, you have to know who you are. You have to know who's speaking to your customer, right? And so you have to build your lighthouse first. Like, what's your why? What's your what? What's your how? Once you understand who you are, now you can start to understand who your customer is. And we call this our captain's assessment, because we call our customers our captains. And you look at it, and customers have three levels of beliefs. They have external beliefs, they have internal beliefs, and they have paradigm beliefs, right? And an external belief, you know, might be like, something like, oh, I want to lose weight, right? Like, that's their before state. I want to lose 5 pounds. But then internally, normally it's, I don't feel good enough, right? Like, or I don't want anybody to know this. I'm ashamed to go to the beach. I don't want to take my shirt off, right? But then paradigm, there's like a core belief in there, right? Like a lack of self-love or lack of unhealed trauma, right? And you have to understand these paths. And so that before stage is there, and then we get into objections. Well, if that's where they are, and that's not where they want to be, what gets in the way of them getting there? And of course, the big three are always time, money, and energy, right? And then, I've done this before, it hasn't worked. I've heard them all, like, the fitness industry, I'm big boned, I'm destined to be like this, my parents were obese, like things like that, right? Those are all the objections. But then on the other side of that is the after state. Like, where do they want to be? Like, what's their destination? And the destination is like, oh, I want to, you know, be confident. I want to take my shirt off the beach. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to do whatever. And our job as marketers and business owners is to build the vehicle that gets them from that before state to that after state while avoiding the traps that they call objections. And I call that, you know, the launch belief for the vehicle that we teach people. But in order for you to create that, you have to know who you are, right? Because notice how in there, not once did I say, by buying this product or by doing this thing. It's like, no, we just have to understand where they want to go. And we have to do that agnostic of product, because you don't have a business if the only way that somebody can achieve their goals is if they pay you. That's not a business. That's a transaction, right? The business is helping people get there at their different levels and allowing them to escalate up, right? It's like Apple being like, you can only be an Apple person if you buy every product. No. You can have an iPhone, you can have an iPod, you can have an iPad, you can have AirPods, and they have entry points all across the board. Now, of course, that's where they meet you and they escalate you up. They want you in the culture, right? But you don't even need any of that to be an Apple user. You can use iTunes or Apple Music. You can use things for free that allow you in there. And so they solve for that. And so what Apple's doing is bridging the gap from your before state to your after state. And that's really where it starts to happen, is that once you understand your customer or potential customer and the journey that you want them to take, well, your entire job is basically done, because you know the languaging that they use, right? I teach what I call the spyglass method. And I call it in the course, I call it the ethical pirate, right? It's where 90% of your work is done for you. By doing the right user research and the right content research and competitor research, you basically map the entire journey and then you insert yourself as the expert. And then all your social posts, everyone's like, where do I get copy from? I'm like, from that captain's assessment. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, what words did they use to describe their before state? Mm. And they're like, oh, I'm like, well, there's your headline. Oh, what objections do they have? And they're like, well, they said this. I'm like, great. Use their words, not yours. Right. And those documents tend to be like the most important documents in business. So there's three or four of them that I use. There's four of them that I use. The beacon of belief is what I call the lighthouse. It's your why, your what, and your how. And then the captain's assessment is next, which is you understanding your customer. Then once you understand your customer, I teach you the four types of customer journeys that they can take. And that's important to understand because there's really only four things that people can do when they come into your world online or even in person. And then the fourth one is what I call the map of modalities, right? And this is all the ways in which you serve your customers for free in exchange for their email or information and for paid. And with those four things together, and they're literally, you're in their four worksheets that take less than an hour. You have the blueprint to build a $1 billion business, a $1 million business, $100,000. It doesn't matter. It's basically like the cheat codes to Nintendo because those four pieces alone are just like grab and drop and you move them. And then when you put some structure to them, that's kind of where everything skyrockets. And it's most of the most neglected work. Like when these Fortune 50 companies call me, and I mean, these people are doing $30 billion a year. I put them through the same process. And somehow we double the company. I'm like, oh, you lost sight of this. Your business was built on this, but eventually you lost sight of it. When we get back here, you know, everything starts to kind of shift and move. And so, you know, if there's anything that like I tell, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, like business really, really gets to be easy because your business being successful is a byproduct of you understanding yourself and then your customers before you put anything into the world. Or if you're already in the world, taking the time to audit it and being really intentional and methodical about who they are and who you are and what that gap is and where you want to take them. And then when you have those pieces, it's like just kind of choose your own adventure. Like I'll take apart from this column, I'll take apart from this column, and then I'll send them to this product. I'll take apart from this column, and I'll send them to this Facebook group. And it really, really is like kind of drag and drop and plug and play because that foundational work, it's kind of invisible, right? When you think about the tallest skyscraper in New York City, you don't see the foundation, but you know it exists. And that's the only reason that building can be the tallest building, right? But you only have to pour that foundation once. And then you can add as many floors as you want, as long as you think through where you want to be, right? So if you build and pour a foundation that can only sustain three levels, if you hit the third level and you're like, I need a fourth one, you have to knock the entire building down again and start from scratch, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's really, really, it's really, really powerful stuff because, and what you nailed, and you said this earlier, but it ties to this, is like none of us have lived through something like this before. Now, principality based, we lived through things like I did war game trainings, like I was on 3 combat deployments. We talked about things like this and stuff like that. But in the current situation, no one has really navigated this. And so really all you're fallbacking into is principles, right? Like principles of what's underneath everything, which is really the secret to any success. Is principles, not strategies, not tactics, not shortcuts, like foundational principles that we're intentional and meticulous with that allow us to do this. And so it's a very, very important concept. And, you know, for business owners, you know, the foundation in your business is the difference between you being here a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And it's like, who are we? And it's not, you know, we're not Facebook ads. We're not Instagram ads. We're not TikTok. We're not like, who are we at the core? And once you know who you are, you know who your customer is. And notice that customers will always find you when they know who you are, right? You don't have to convince them. You don't have to be on 28 platforms at a time, right? Like, I'm pretty sure we could close every Apple store in the world and then surprisingly open one in the Midwest that nobody's ever been to. And within a week, they'd be completely sold out of product because everybody would tell everybody where it is, right? Like, yeah. they'll go find it. And it's because it's based on a relationship.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I was just going to go somewhere with the relationship bit, and it was around the transformation and the accountability part, because you know, one of the things that you said, and I thought that's so true, and it's articulated really clearly, is that people buy accessibility and accountability. So they want accessibility to a service, a product, a person. If it's a training program, But they're also looking for accountability. And, you know, I think of all the training programs I've bought, probably 95% of them are somewhere in my computer. I've probably forgotten about two-thirds of those. The other third I might remember, but I'll struggle to actually find where they are on my computer. I certainly haven't done them. But the ones that stand out for me are the ones that have held me accountable, have kind of taken me on the journey, and then I've gotten the value out of it. They might not necessarily be the best training programs, but because I've actually done them, they are the best by definition. And it's the same with any kind of marketing or any customer journey, isn't it? So if you think of, I mean, the classic one is gym memberships. I was speaking, a friend of mine runs one of the local city gyms here, and they ring around, he said, about 100 people every 3 months they ring and they say, you know, you haven't been in the gym for 3 years, but you're still paying your regular monthly subscription, you know. And one of the other guys that was in that conversation said, oh, why do you ring them? You know, they might stop paying you. And he said, well, it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's two things you can do there. You either hold them accountable or you say, hey, if you're not going to do it, why pay us?
Yep. No, I mean, it's so true. And here's the thing. I think, too, what helps with this, Jürgen, is I think a lot of people, one of the beliefs is that accountability means like you're one-on-one, like you're having to deal with 1,000 customers at a time, or what if 5,000 people call me? That's not accountability. Accountability is just creating a container and allowing people to be in that journey, right? It's intentionality, right? It's a plan. And so, you know, accountability isn't like, oh, they're going to call me all the time. It's like, oh, I have a product. If I sell that product, my job and my due diligence that I have to do is to ensure that I lay out a path so that they can achieve the result in that product. And so if you sell a supplement and they're first-time users, and you know it takes 30 days to see the results, you should probably have 30 emails set up focused on helping them achieve that goal. Here's a smoothie to use. Here's a recipe to cook with it. Here's the best time to take it. Don't make this mistake. Oh, add 2 scoops into your coffee. And if you do that over 30 days, you go from having a customer for 2 billing cycles to 26 billing cycles because they've actually achieved the result and doing it. But accountability isn't like I have to call them, they have to have my phone number. Accountability is taking what you know, being very intentional on the path. Like our job as business owners is to lead people. That's what we're doing. We're leading people from where they are to where they want to go. And if you rely on the laurels or the merits of them doing it themselves, you're going to put yourself out of business. We're not buying a product, and I buy a lot of products and I very intentionally buy them to hold me accountable because I know, left to my own vices, I'll be like, nope, not doing it. I don't want to go. But then I look at like the supplement that's sitting on my desk from my own company, and I pay for my own supplements, kind of like Meta and Inception-like, because if I pay for it, I value it differently than them just sending me a box. And so I look at it and like, I have to take it. And I get my same emails that I write to hold me accountable to taking that product, right? And so with accountability, it's being intentional, knowing like, you know, if somebody comes in and you're like, I'm going to help you lose 10 pounds in 30 days. Well, your job isn't to give them a PDF and a supplement and check in with them once. No, like your job is to do everything in your power to make sure that they can achieve that goal in 30 days. So what's that 30-day journey look like, or that 7-day journey, or that 4-day journey, right? Because customer journeys only do one of two things. Or they can only go one of two ways. It's either duration or direction, right? And so if you promise a time frame, well, you do it. If you're teaching somebody a process, well, that's a direction, but you have to be intentional. If not, it creates back doors, and those back doors leave customers out, right? They buy courses they don't consume. They buy products that go on the shelf. And I've said this to numerous companies, and this is true. My biggest fear is not that I can't get a customer. It's that a customer buys my product and never uses it, right? Because if I don't get a customer, they're not going to go talk bad about me. But if I get a customer, they open the cabinet and I got 3 products sitting in there that they never used, they're going to ask for a refund. They're going to complain. They're going to tell their friends that it doesn't work, even though they never opened the container. But it was my fault that they didn't open the container because I didn't design that journey to take them on that path, right? And so accountability is being intentional and knowing the path that your customers must take before they know it. And that's where the foundational work. I'm just going to keep going back to foundations. That's where the foundational work goes in, because you know what gets in the way. You know the objections that are there, right? And so it's such a powerful thing, because you know, at the end of the day, you know, the money that a business makes isn't from the amount of products that it sells. It's from the amount of results that their customers achieve. And that is directly correlated to the amount of money that a business makes.
Yeah, I think that is such a powerful kind of thing when you understand that. And one of the things you said there, I think, is really a valuable little hack too. And that's being your own customer. Sign up for your own email list, sign up for, buy your own products, experience what actually customers will experience. I had this really bad experience where my phone actually died just as we were going into all this lockdown, and I called the support center and they said, oh, bring it into the store, we'll take care of you. And I said, well, how am I supposed to do that? You know, we're not allowed out. And besides, your store's probably closed because I don't think it's an essential service. And long story short, it was such a painful experience to get to the point where I could actually then send the phone into the service center and get it repaired, such that I said to my wife, I'm never going to buy that phone again. If I have to buy a new phone now, if they can't repair it, I'm certainly not going to buy one of those, because it was such a bad experience. And I thought, well, if they took the time to go through their own system, to go through their own support system, they'd probably say, boy, this is really broken. We have to do something about this.
Yeah, I think it's imperative, right? Like it's like a chef. Like when I think about a chef, like you think about a Michelin star chef, there's not one dish that leaves that kitchen before they've tasted it, right? They're owning that experience and every ounce of the being, because they know at the end of the day, all they have is the user experience on the other side. And so I tell people all the time, you have to go through your own experience. You have to go through your own customer journey. Then you have to have those close to you go through your customer journey and give you unbiased feedback. And then you ask some strangers to go through it. And you give them your product, you give them their service in exchange for their feedback. But you're not interested in them telling you how awesome you are. You're interested in them telling them all the holes that they experience, right? Like, where can you improve? What can you make better? How can you do it differently? And it's such a prevalent topic to understand, because that experience is what's going to dictate the results of your customer, which is directly proportionate to the success of your company. And so everybody must go through their process. But there is one important caveat, and we talk about this a lot. We hear people all the time, entrepreneurs, business, I am my ideal avatar. It's why I started my company. And I'm like, yes and no. You are your ideal avatar, but in your after state, and your customers are in their before state. And those are two very, very different places. And so you need to make sure that you're speaking to people and meeting your customer, you know, where they are, by knowing their language and what it is. And an example I always use, and I'll give the specific example, I was helping somebody with a webinar, and they sell supplements with a protocol to heal an autoimmune condition. And the webinar was titled, like, you know, to heal massive pain, right? Massive pain, and pain is a part of it. And it was converting really, really well, but they got on the phone with some customers and they started asking questions like, how would you describe your pain? How would you describe your pain? And one resounding answer came back, and every one of them somehow said bone crushing pain. They changed just the title to blank, 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 and stop your bone crushing pain. And their conversions went up 7 times, not like 7%, 7 times, because that was the language of their customer. Now, the synthesized version is like, oh, it'll stop your massive pain. But when a customer is in their before state, they're not having the logical answer. They're in the experience. They're in the pain. They're in that state. And you have to make sure that you understand what that is so you can meet them where they are.
Hmm. Yeah, it's having that emotional connection, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we talked about transformation and the before and the after state, but you know, the meeting them where they are is a really important thing, I think, because the customer journey is kind of a continuum, isn't it? There's the before state and the after state, but there's actually a continuum.
Yeah, and I love that, and understanding this is really, really important. And it's not a hard concept to understand, but it's important to be aware of it, that no customer journey is linear. It's not they go from A to B to C to D to E. It's a very systematic, like, node-based approach. And, you know, to stick to nautical, it's a lot of buoys or waypoints in the water on their way to shore, and it won't ever look like you think it is, right? So envision this. I always love that image of what entrepreneurship looks like, right? The top says, what you think entrepreneurship looks like, and it's this steady growth of like, and then what it really looks like is millions of squiggly lines and circles, and then you end up at the after state. And that's a very good representation of what your customer journey is like. And I'll use an example. Like tonight, you're like, oh, baby, I want to get takeout for dinner. And they're like, all right, what do you want? It's like, I don't know yet. And you open Yelp or you open Uber Eats, right? You'll open it, you'll read reviews, you'll look at the menu. You're not like, hey, I want to get takeout. Yeah, I'm getting this exact dish from this restaurant delivered at this time, right? It's not that linear. And that's how your customers are on the other side of what you do. And so the reason the lighthouse, what I teach, is so important is because you have to be congruent. Because everything that you do in this world is either moving a customer one step closer to you or one step further away from you. And if it's incongruent and it doesn't make sense, they're going to get away from you and they're never coming back. And so meeting the customer where they are is understanding that at the end of the day, leadership is saying the same thing as many times as required until the last person gets it. Not saying one thing once, getting cute, and then reinventing it 800 times to try to make noise everywhere. And so meeting your customer where they are is knowing that all of your customers are going to be in different parts of their buying cycle. Some of them have already bought products, they're on a gap. Some of them are buying monthly. Some of them have never bought before. And all the content is going to be congruent at the core of what you do, which is what you build in your lighthouse, which means every single Instagram post, Facebook post, ad, podcast you do is serving as a touch point in that ecosystem to wherever they are. They're hearing this or seeing this, and then they're moving one step closer to where you want them to be to your peer, or potentially one step further away because they're not your ideal customer. But you don't want to be pushing away your ideal customers by having incongruence, right? And so what I tell people is like, content without structure is noise, right? And so if you are a business and you help people like lose weight through digital programs and supplements, and I use that example because a lot of people resonate with supplements and it makes sense to apply to your business. Well, if you go do a, you know, a post on like how to groom your dog, well, that's really not going to do you any good. And it's not going to lead people one step closer to you, right? That's for your personal Instagram. And at the same time, when you go do a post on how to do at-home workouts, you can't measure or gauge it on engagement. It doesn't matter how many likes or comments you get, because that might just be the cycle where somebody's like, do I want to engage with this yet? Or is this another touch point in the journey? Our customers are smart. They know what we do. They know how to find your website, right? Like, I don't have to tell you if you want same day shipping and something delivered to your house, what website to type in. Like, every one of you just thought about Amazon, right? Like, and so our customers are that informed. And so what our job is if you think about a lighthouse is a funnel. When you get to the pier, that light is sharp and focused like a sniper rifle. And the further away from shore you get, the wider and wider that light gets. And so as you're doing this, you want to make sure that you're congruent and knowing that customers are always going to be moving closer to you as long as you're shining the same light congruently, consistently, and intentionally. And then they'll get closer and closer and closer and closer. And that takes them on that journey. And so when we think about like before states and after states and a customer journey, and I teach this to everybody in the conscious, subconscious customer journey, when we think about before states and after states, like we might want somebody to buy a $60 supplement, but they might have to go through 16 customer journeys before they get there. They might have to go from, I've never worked out, to now I'm walking every day. Oh, now that I'm walking every day, I'm going to clean my diet up. Oh, now that I'm learning how to cook, I'm going to meal prep. Oh, now that I'm meal prepping, I feel confident. I'm going to go to the gym. Oh, now I'm going to go to the gym. I want to take the supplement. And all of that has to happen by meeting them where they are. And the only way we can do that is if we're very intentional on what we do and we're methodical about that customer journey and the entry points and kind of where we take them. And so, you know, one thing I want to say is a lot of the things I'm saying, it's really not overwhelming. There's only 9 steps. Most of them are just the awareness of the step that makes it possible, right? Like once you become aware of something, you can't forget it, right? Now that I think about it and you've heard this, you might be like, oh, I wanted to create a lead magnet. Oh, I need at least 7 days. Oh, I need to figure out the direction or the duration, or I need to make sure I never do that. Or if you go back to our other episode, you're like, oh, I'm not going to do card abandonments that way. I'm going to do them this way, right? And once you're aware of it, you tend to act differently. And a lot of this is just being aware of what's happening, right? Being aware that your customer is in a journey and that journey doesn't look like anybody else's journey. And your business has to be designed as like a net per se, right? That you can catch them all by speaking the language, taking them on the journey and meeting them where they are. And they're all going to fall in there at different points. And then once you catch them, you got them, right? And then you put them on shore and it's like, hey, here's a lead magnet or here's a product, right? But the thing here is that they all have to understand where it's coming from and it all has to be congruent and consistent for it to be a lighthouse, or else, you know, you're going to end up with 40 lighthouses that bring people in all the wrong directions and crash and get stuck in the Bermuda Triangle and sink and, you know, all the things that we don't want to happen.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks, George. This has been absolutely fabulous. I really appreciate you spending time with us on our special episode 300 today and talking through the Lighthouse system and all the fundamental principles of marketing that I think are going to be hugely valuable to the listener. Is there something you'd like to leave the listener with before we wrap it up?
Yeah. I always do. You know, and I'm a broken record for like relationships beating algorithms, but the one thing that you'll never be able to compete with some big companies, Fortune 100 companies, 50 companies, is budget, right? But the great thing about them is they always go wide, and nobody can ever go as deep as you do. Nobody can ever go one level deeper with your customers like you can. And so I challenge everybody to understand that at the other side of everything you do is a human being. And if your mission every day isn't to be one step faster or one step better, but instead to go one step deeper with your customers, I can basically hedge my hat and say I can guarantee your success, because there's no way to lose that game.
Great. Well, thanks, George. That's wonderful advice. And I think it's a good parting message to bear in mind. So thanks again for coming on the 300th episode of the Innova Buzz podcast. I really appreciate it. Now, where can people find out more about you and maybe even reach out and get in touch, say thank you, or perhaps take a look at the big light of your lighthouse?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And thank you. I'm just honored, Jürgen, to have me for this. And for everybody listening, there's one gift that I can never give back to you that you just gave to me, which is time. And so I'm just honored and humbled that you listened. And hopefully there is something here for a takeaway. So I make this really easy. You can find me everywhere at mindofgeorge.com. And just as a bonus, those four types of customer journeys that I talked to you about, I teach you on that page for free as I show you exactly what they are. And so you'll get the best of the best there. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can opt in and see what this looks like. We'll give you the trainings, everything for free. It's all at mindofgeorge.com, and it's really, really simple.
Great. Well, we'll link to that in the show notes, but certainly easy to remember, mindofgeorge.com. So thanks again, George. I really appreciate you sharing your insights and your wisdom with us so generously today. And as I say, this is the 300th episode, so it's a very special milestone. I wish you all the best, and I know we're going to stay in touch. So I'll talk soon.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, and best of luck on everything. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed and learned much from that amazing conversation with George. It certainly was a worthy milestone episode. Let's make marketing human again. That's my mantra, and it encapsulates my takeaway from today's episode. I'd love to know what you took away from George's episode. In fact, more importantly, what action will you take as a result? Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/GeorgeBryant300. That is GeorgeBryant300. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/GeorgeBryant300. You'll find contact information for getting in touch with George there, as well as links to his website, his courses, his social media pages, and the other resources that we spoke about in today's conversation. Tune in again to the next episodes of the Innova Buzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up. To kick off the next 100 episodes, we have Noah Labhart of Variable and the Code Story podcast, followed by referral coach and author of Radical Relevance, Bill Cates. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.